databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point of sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
Thought it was a rash, but my doctor said it was a tick bite.
Ticks can spread Lyme disease and other illnesses, leading to chronic health issues.
My brother was always having asthma flare-ups. Turns out a roach problem at home was causing it.
Allergens left behind by roaches and rodents are a major driver of asthma attacks.
When I had a fever and body aches, I never thought it was West Nile virus.
Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can spread serious diseases. Get the facts at pestworld.org.
All right, ladies, let's be honest. Do you feel like the person you see in the mirror? Are hot flashes, fatigue, insomnia, and weight gain taking over your life? Newfem Rejuvenation Clinic can help. We're a medical clinic for women, staffed by women, offering the newest anti-aging and wellness care. We offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, sexual wellness treatments, and medical weight loss programs tailored to each woman's needs. Our therapies treat hormone imbalance due to menopause, childbirth, thyroid disorders, and adrenal fatigue. Only Newfem offers the most innovative sexual health treatments for low libido, vaginal pain, decreased sensation, and even urinary incontinence. Our medically managed weight loss programs are individually customized for sustained weight loss. Let the medical professionals at Newfem give you better energy, better sleep, and better sex.
Help us empower you. Call 702-996-5411. That's 702-996-5411 today. Visit us online at www.newfem.com. That's N-U-F-E-M-M-E.com. Embrace the new you.
Union Strong means bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 Launa proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you sort it out. Join the club. Weekday morning, 6 to 9 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right. It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekday afternoons, noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Coming up on the program, State Senator Scott Hammond. He made a couple of controversial votes that a lot of people have been asking about. We're going to get into all of that and a whole bunch more as we continue. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. There are a lot of bad bills that got passed. 75 got vetoed. They did not survive. And they were really... really bad bills. We'll talk about that. And also more from the former president. He was on with Brett Baer last night. And some of the stuff was just hilarious. Some of it was really serious. Like, you know, are we going to go to war with Iran? Yeah, a lot of that stuff. We'll do that and a whole bunch more coming up as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Have made the switch to Findlay Chevrolet. 215 at South Rainbow. Find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy.
Oh my God.
Hi, friends. It's Katrin Ivanov. I'm so concerned about bills that would raise taxes on Nevadans when we already have a budget surplus. I am taking my personal time to bring the fight directly to our legislators in Carson City. If you're like me and do not want to pay higher taxes, especially during this time of unprecedented inflation, please support my efforts by donating at MrsFixit.us, paid for by friends of Mrs. Fixit.
Travel from Las Vegas to L.A. in a premium economy bus with colors, more legroom, Wi-Fi access, affordable prices. Buy your ticket today at colors.com. Premium economy bus travel with colors. That is KOLORS.com.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studio from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Hunter Biden, the son of President Biden, has reached a plea deal on income tax and weapons charges. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
After a five-year investigation by the Justice Department, Hunter Biden has been charged with failing to pay federal income tax and illegally possessing a weapon. According to a filing in federal court in Delaware, the president's son will plead guilty to a misdemeanor on tax offenses and reach an agreement on firearm and drug charges. Those charges are separate from Hunter Biden's business dealings, which are being investigated by congressional Republicans. Greg Clugston, Washington.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the Hunter Biden plea deal raises an obvious question.
The question is it equal justice? So you have one leading opponent of the current president that is now indicted, is supposed to do jail time. You have a president's son that the investigation went on for a very long time. That now has to do no jail time.
A search is underway for a deep-sea vessel that went missing with five people aboard after it dived toward the deteriorating wreck site of the Titanic ocean liner. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Jamie Frederick says a remote operating vehicle, Rove, has started searching in the vicinity of the wreck of the Titanic for the submersible.
It's a unique operation. It's a challenging operation. But right now we're focused on putting everything we can at it and searching as hard as we can and getting the assets out there as quickly as we can.
The U.S. Coast Guard is leading the search for the small craft named Titan in the North Atlantic Ocean. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 245 points to 34,053, the NASDAQ dropping 22, the S&P lower by 20, oil down $1.28 to $70.50 a barrel. More at townhall.com.
Miss Prager here. Sue and I mean it when we say dogs are part of our family, and there's nothing like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, because we want them to feel healthy and be with us as long as possible. I know Charlie Kirk feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. I rely on my trusted furry friend, Mr. Briggs, who's an absolute machine, and he relies on me to provide what's best for him. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens, not a dog food, but a supplement full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and omega oils that Mr. Briggs absolutely needs and loves. Trying Rough Greens for your dog just makes sense.
Greetings, naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black here. I'm honored that the Pragers and Charlie trust their dog's health to Rough Greens. I'm so confident that Rough Greens can help your dog too that I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, dog food is dead food, but it doesn't have to be. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
It's 204. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, that beam of light recently seen streaking through the skies in Centennial Hills was not a UFO, but a meteor. The flash of light was captured on an officer's body camera on May 1st. NASA officials say that beam of light was a bright meteor, less than a meter in size, which fell from the sky. The officials added that based on the speed of the meteor, it would have been very high in the atmosphere. So nothing for the meteor landed in anyone's backyard in Las Vegas. Well, after a three-year hiatus, a million-dollar display is back at Binion's Gambling Hall in downtown Las Vegas. But instead of the previous horseshoe display, the new setup involves the $1 million neatly stacked in a pyramid shape behind 182 pounds of plexiglass. New to the display is free automated photo system that allows the user to take a picture and then send it to an email address or a phone number. Now, the million-dollar display dates back to 1954 when the Horseshoe Club showed off its collection of $110,000 bills in a horseshoe-shaped display. KMZQ satellite weather, sunny and pleasant today. A high of 93. It's 92 degrees right now.
KMZQ on time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Traffic cams see a little bit of congestion there on the Southern Beltway 215 westbound as you approach Interstate 15 there at Gillespie. And watch for accidents right now on the surface streets, Grand Canyon at Mesa Vista, Karen at Malibu, and Las Vegas Boulevard at Flamingo.
Gather around. Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely, we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely, we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act, to save our country, and to make America stronger.
Surely, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number three of Live and Local for a Tuesday. The last day, the last day before we enter summer. Tomorrow, summer will begin, and maybe we'll end up getting some of those hot temperatures again. We'll find out. Always good to have him on. He is just back from Carson City. He is Scott Hammond. He is State Senator, District 18. And you, my friend, are termed out. Tell me what it was like walking out of that chamber for the final time. Did you get a little wispy?
Well, first of all, great to be on the program again, Kevin. And yeah, tomorrow's the beginning of summer, and I couldn't be happier. And, looking back, I'll admit it, you get to be my age and you start looking back and you go, wow, I accomplished this or that, or you're part of something. And, all those memories came back. It was about 13 years worth of memories right there. And, got a little got a little wispy. I mean, look, no one's going to accuse me of not being a baseball fan because they know now I'm a baseball fan. And, you know, I look back at some of these guys who retired after many long years in a career, and it's tough sometimes. I'm not comparing myself to a baseball player. I'm just saying that I think that when you're taken out of the game for the last time, or you're in a stadium, or you're, you know, it's your last anything and you've been doing it for a long time, you start to reflect on all the good memories. Maybe not all the, you know, not all the memories come back, and we as human beings tend to forget all the bad stuff and try to focus on the good stuff. And that's what happened in the last few minutes. Just all those memories, the last days of whatever session it was, just came back.
I'm curious. You made a couple of controversial votes that I'm hearing about from listeners and from just folks that I know. One of them, obviously, the infrastructure budget bill. I'm going to give you as much time as you want to explain what this was all about and why maybe can you understand why people, Republicans, are a little bit upset with you?
Well, first of all, you know, I get an email saying, you know, you gave $25 million to Culinary Union. No, I didn't give $25 million. If you actually read the bill and you actually understand what happened towards the end, then it kind of makes a little bit more sense. First of all, we're talking about the capital improvement project budget bill. So there's five budget bills, right? Of the five, there's only one that is a two-thirds bill, and it's because it has a rollover tax, basically. It's an ad valorem tax that is a part of that particular bill. It's not a new tax. It's not increasing taxes. It has nothing to do with, you know, all of a sudden you're going to get a new tax, which is, again, one of the attacks that people use against me when they email me. It's not a new tax. You know, Governor Lombardo said he wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to pass a new tax. He didn't. That's the reason why that bill is, it's not a new tax. So that's number one. Number two, in the last couple of days, the governor said, look, I'm just not getting a lot of the priorities I set out to get. He had five agenda items. He had five bills, and he wasn't even getting hearings on a few of the bills. And so he asked the Senate caucus, which is, you know, we have just enough to require that they have at least one of us vote with them for a two-thirds bill. He asked us to not vote for that bill because he had already vetoed it. And he basically said, please help me to make sure that I get some of the items that we have been fighting for. And he wasn't even sure in the 11th hour if he was getting them, because a lot of his bills, he made a deal with the Democrats. He wanted to make sure that the amendments and other things were actually going to come true. And so even about, was it 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when they brought the bill back up? This is the last day of session. That would have been Monday, the 5th. We all voted no because we weren't sure if the Democrats were going to fulfill the promise to the governor. And the governor was trying to read through everything as it was coming in last minute. And so we didn't know until the next morning. So we voted no, and the CIP bill died. Now, you have to understand the CIP bill is important. You know, we were playing around with that particular bill, but it's also a very important bill. It's hard to explain in a few minutes, and you know, I don't know if I can do it justice here, but it is a bill that has a lot of the capital. It's bonding. We as the state are able to bond because of this particular bill. It actually has our credit rating attached to it. The state's credit rating is attached to the CIP bill. Past projects, two years ago, we approved a lot of budget. A capital improvement project.
Are you there?
And
are you there?
The budget was part of, you know, this was part of the ongoing budget. And so you're messing around with ongoing, you know, you're messing around with projects that were ongoing, basically, that we're relying on this particular bill to get through. And the governor came back the next day and said, look, he called us in on the caucus meeting. We sat down with him and he said, we went through all the material last night. We are very satisfied with what, you know, the compromise has done, and we are very satisfied and very happy that you guys stuck together. But he says it's time to move on. It's time to move on and finish out the work of the budget to get the budget approved and moving forward. Because if we, for some reason, went to a special session, and some of my colleagues were saying, hey, I think we need to hold out and get one more thing or two more things or three more things. We need to hold out as a group and hold the CIP budget hostage until we get what we want. Well, that's all fine and dandy in theory, but if you wait 30 days or till the end of, not even 30 days, if you wait to the end of June, come July 1st, all of a sudden the state defaults on all of its bonding, then you've got problems. You know, I mean, now the credit rating of the state goes to crap, and the state is no longer able to bond, and now you'd have to rely on the counties to do that. There's a lot of bad possibilities that could happen. And so I looked at the scenario. I thought that we had done what we needed to do. The governor was able to accomplish a few more things of his required list, and I thought it was time to move on. And so when I met with a couple of my colleagues, they really felt like we could hold out, and I said, we can't. They wanted to attach an amendment. Again, you've got to remember, when a special session is called, it's the governor who calls it, and the governor is basically saying it's time to move on, and here's the bill I want you guys to approve. A couple of my colleagues said, well, let's try and attach an amendment. I said, okay, but you can't attach an amendment because, you know, it's a special session. The only person who attaches an amendment is the governor here. And so that just didn't work. So when it came to the vote, my colleagues all knew that I told them. I said, they knew that I was going to vote. I didn't have to tell them. They knew. And they came to my office and asked me, so they knew. And I just said, all right, I'm going to vote for it. So I voted for it. That's how it came about. I didn't think that was the bill that we wanted to mess around with. There were two bills, quite frankly, there were two bills right at the end of session. We called them the Christmas tree bills. They're a bill that came out of Senate Finance and a bill that came out of Ways and Means from the Assembly. We call them the Christmas tree bills because it had a lot of the sort of pork projects from, you know, on the other side. The Democrats had said, hey, we want to do this, this, and this, and they allocated money for those projects. Had the governor vetoed those two bills, we would have had a lot more leverage come the special session, either special session one or two, but he didn't want to, you know, veto either one of those. So there really wasn't any kind of leverage there at all. All we had was the CIP bill, and I wasn't about to play around with the CIP bill. That's kind of why.
Any other tough votes you had to take in these final days?
I shouldn't say every vote. Some votes are pretty easy. There's a lot of it was difficult because we don't have the majority. You know, a lot of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle were lamenting over the fact that, you know, Governor Joe Lombardo had vetoed 75 bills, which is a lot, right? It's the record. There's most bills ever vetoed in one particular single session ever. And, you know, they go on and on like, oh, he vetoed another one. And they felt bad. And I'm like, look, you guys are all, you know, worried, and, you know, you guys feel bad that he's vetoed bills, but I had 18 bills that I started the session off with. Several of them never even got hearings, and I got two bills through. I said, so a lot of my bills were vetoed by you guys, in a sense. So, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, had you guys perhaps worked a little bit more with us, and we got more of our bills through, and we helped you with your bills, we probably could have got more bills through, but it didn't happen. So a lot of bills got vetoed. So, you know, we did take a lot of hard votes, but then again, there was a lot of bills that never even made it out. We actually voted on fewer bills this session than I think we did last session.
That's amazing. That's amazing. A lot of people have been asking me every 2 months. I ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do now that you've been termed out of the state Senate? What about your political future?
Well, I definitely want to. I want to stay in education. I want to do things in education. I love the work. I think I'll do something in that sphere. I just don't know what. You know, that was also a part of that last bill because, you know, we were trying to hold out to get $32 million for kids for teachers to get pay raises in charter schools. And that was probably the hardest part of that because, you know, my wife is a charter school teacher. So when I voted to pass the CIP, essentially, ending negotiations, that was the end of the try to get the government to give them the $32 million to get the raises. But the governor said many times, hey, I'm going to try and find money to make sure that this is wrong, which it was a wrong. We should always be giving raises to all of the teachers. You know, my wife is a licensed teacher, like anybody in the school district. So, you know, that's one of the things that he is committed to do. And I'm committed to help him find that money and help him find those resources for those teachers and make the charter school teachers whole. Anybody with a, you know, who's out there teaching in a public school who didn't get that raise, that, you know, that they need, they deserve it. And so we're gonna work during this interim to make sure that that happens. So that's one of the things I'll be doing during the interim. And moving forward, just anytime I can find a way to give resources and help to all the teachers out there, whether they're public, private, charter, micro school, whatever it might be, you know, our students deserve the very best. And, you know, if helping out the teachers to improve and get the resources they need, well, then that's what I'll do.
Do you want to improve the education system from inside or from outside the system?
Both. You know, I get that. It's funny because there are some people who criticize and say, well, stop worrying about charter schools and stop worrying about private schools. Stop, you know, messing around with vouchers or stop messing around with the ESAs because why don't you just try and fix the system? Well, fixing the system, in my mind, is fixing it from the outside. That fixes the system just as much as it does if you're from the inside. And I think that there's, you know, probably some fixes that could be made. But I think we live under this illusion that it's a one-size fits all, and a one, you know, one silver bullet will solve the problem, and we just have to find that one silver bullet. I don't think so. I think that a lot of people out there have great ideas that will change and revolutionize the way we deliver education, and we just have to allow them access to that. We got to stop thinking that, you know, we can come up with two or three fixes to the system and it's good. That's why I think charter schools are really important. They really they drive and compete and try to find new ways to do things, and it helps even the public schools, the public district schools, to kind of say, well, maybe that's the better way to do it. So I think that you can fix the outside, or fix the school districts by helping others outside of the district. So I'm a big believer in that. I don't think that you can just say, hey, let's try to fix the system. I think you have to allow people to help you find different ways to fix education in general.
Scott, let me just throw this out. On one of the final days of the session, when it was apparent that AB 400 was not going to pass and that education was not going to be improved, she was angry. Erin Phillips from Power to Parent, she was angry. She says, we're going to have to find another way to do this. Are you convinced that that we're going to have to go outside the legislative branch of government to fix our schools, that the legislature, as it's run right now, ain't doing it?
No, I agree with Erin Phillips. Well, parts of 400 got passed and parts of it didn't, right? And the parts that didn't get passed, you know, I really think that, and this is, I don't think it's controversial, even though some people might say so. I think the parents just don't understand the kind of power they have, and they need to start demanding changes. I look at some of these communities where their schools are just not, they're not providing what they need, and I'm shocked that they're not rising up in numbers. It was in saying, I want change. I want to see a difference. You're going to have to see it from outside. I think you're going to have to see a lot more parental involvement. You know, it wasn't just the teachers in charter schools that were demanding or needing a raise. It shouldn't have been just them that were standing up and demanding a raise. It should have been the parents of those charter schools who were demanding a raise for the teachers who were in those schools, so they can keep their quality teachers. You know, it's all those things that have to happen in order to see that change effect be effective. So I agree with her. It's going to have to be an answer from outside as well.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm convinced that we're going to have to go around the legislature and go directly to the people. And if that means some sort of initiative or something similar, maybe that's the way we're going to have to do it.
Yeah, because right now I think that there's just too many powerful influences on too many of the legislators, and they just don't want to take a chance and you know, look outside and find a new path. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to at some point. Some form of direct democracy will have to be engaged.
So the future for you, you're not quite sure what you want to do yet?
No, not quite sure. I'm just happy to be home right now, not up in Carson City where every day was either raining or snowing or cold in some fashion. You know, I grew up in Alaska, but, you know, being in Southern Nevada all these years is really – soften me up. I don't like the cold. I don't like it at all.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Scott, get home and get reacquainted with the family. Thank you so much for being a part of our coverage of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. I really do appreciate it. I know a lot of times we were scrambling to get you when you're in committee.